Okay, going over some key points in the development of halacha, specifically the Torah Sheba'al Peh. So the first stage is that we were given the Torah on Har Sinai, and we're given two Torahs. And the written Torah, which was written down, was meant to remain that way, and the oral Torah was always meant to remain oral. It was not meant to be written down at all, but as things progressed, we see there was a time and a need to do so. So throughout the Tanakh, right, we have the Masorah was written from the Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Kesuvim. And then at the end of the time period of the Anshei Knesset HaGadol, we had an overlap. This is post-biblical, right? The Chumash, everything has been written down. And we're living in a time period where the Anshei Knesset HaGadol had some Nevi'im, and some of them were the Tanoim. That starts in the year zero of the Common Era and goes for about 200 years. At the end of that 200-year period, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi went ahead and wrote down the Torah because he realized that it was going to be forgotten if he didn't do so. Hashem. It was a time to act for Hashem, and he broke the rule, he bent the rule, he rebelled, and wrote down what was supposed to remain purely an oral tradition. Wrote down the Torah Shebichsav. I'm sorry, Torah Shebaal Peh. Then, for the next 300 years approximately, the Amoraim lived, 200 to 500, and they discussed and analyzed and tried to pull out what the messages were and who the halacha follows in certain cases. That was till the end of the year 500. Then became what the Chasimas HaTalmud, that the Gemara was sealed off. Talmud here means the Mishnah and the Gemara. It was sealed. It can no longer be changed or edited, but it could be discussed and analyzed and commented upon. Then we have the time period of the Gaonim from about the years 500 to 1000, and then the Rishonim really is divided into two parts. Those who made commentaries on the Gemara, Rashi and Tosfos, and those who made a code system out of it. The codifiers, the big three are the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh, as we'll explain. And then after the Shulchan Aruch was written, in the period of the Achronim, that was the modern day halacha. So, really, in the Torah Shebichsav, was always meant to be written down, and the Torah Shebaal Peh was always meant to remain oral. But Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi realized that he had to do something because the Romans and the persecutions and the Jewish communities were spreading out, so therefore he wrote it down, and that's the beginning of it. How was it written down? It was divided into six sections. Shishe Sidre Mishnah. Shishe Sidre Mishnah is what we call Shas. So the way to remember it is Zman Nakat, that there are six different sections of Mishnayos. If there are a total of 63 different Mishnayos that divide up into one of these six categories. So there's Zroyim, which deals with the laws of agriculture. In there you'll find laws like Shemitah, you'll find the laws of Peah, Ma'aser Sheni, etc. The next order is Moed, which is all the holidays, the Yom Tovim, Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Pesach, etc. Noshim are the laws that deal between men and women. Gittin, Kiddushin, Yevamos. Nezikin are laws of damages. Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, Sanhedrin. Kodshim are the laws that deal with the sugis of Korbanos, right? Zvachim and Menachos, and Taharos, the ones that deal with ritual purity, for example, like Oholos and stuff like that. Now, there are Gemaras that discuss this. The Gemaras, again, were the Amoraim, who lived from the years 200 to 500, and they would discuss them. These discussions and the analysis is what was written down in the Gemara. We really don't have very much Gemara on Zeroyim and on Taharos, right? The first and the last. And the reason is because these were unique halachas that only applied to Eretz Yisrael. And since the majority of the scholarship was taking place in Bavel, which is now modern-day Iraq, so the holidays, we have discussions. That applies there as well. The laws of Noshim apply. Nezikin apply. Kodshim, we do have a lot of discussions about them, but the Korbanos, etc., did not apply necessarily in Chutz La'aretz. So after the period of the Gaonim came the time period of the Rishonim. And the three major Rishonim that we use in determining the Pesach Halacha are the Rambam, the Rif, and the Rosh. The Rambam wrote three major books. The one that most often is quoted is the Mishneh Torah. The Rambam was very controversial at first because he wrote that you're not going to need to study other books. You could just study my Mishneh Torah and you'll get the halacha. So he gives a clear psak. He was the first one to actually organize the entire Gemara, the entire Shas, by topics. So for example, you have 2,711 pages. But the Rambam will go through and pull out every time tzitzis is mentioned throughout the Shas, and he organized it. Every time Korbanos is mentioned, he organized it. Every time halachas are the of the Beis Hamikdash are discussed. He would organize them. Every time Hilchos Shabbos is discussed, he organized it. So that was a monumental task that no one had done. He was the first one to ever really organize it in a conceptual way like that. You have the Rif, who lived earlier than the Rambam, and the Rif also gave a code. He took out all of the back and forth, all the discussions. You'll have like 3 pages, 4 pages, 5 pages of back and forth, and just at the end of the day, you find, okay, the halacha follows Abaye, the halacha follows Rava, whoever it is. The Rif takes out all the discussion, just gives you bottom line, this is a halacha. And he also eliminated from his commentary, his code, any of the non-legal, like all the gaditas and all the stories. He took those out. He just gave basically bullet points, bottom line, halach lemaisa. And the third major Rishon who discussed was the Rosh. The Rosh would take the summaries of the Gemara and apply them to some cases that hadn't yet been discussed. Now what's interesting is that the Rambam and the Rif are both Sfardi, and the Rosh is Ashkenaz. Now when Rabbi Yosef Karo decided to make the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, he picked the majority opinion. So when you have the majority opinion of Svardim, so you have a bias or a slant towards that. So that was what Rabbi Yosef Karo, it has a, you know, 2 out of 3 win, and 2 out of 3 are the, obviously if all 3 said the same thing, that's the halacha. But if you have 2 out of 3, then the Svardic halacha, the Mechaber, is pointed towards that. The way that it was divided, the way that the Shulchan Aruch was written was based upon a pre-existing code that had been written called the Tur. Tur really is short for the words Arba Turim. There are 4 sections. One section is called Orachayim. That deals with all the laws that come up throughout the daily cycle, the yearly cycle, I should say, or in daily life. Brachos is in Orachayim. Davening is in Orachayim. Shabbos, all the laws of Yom Tovim, right? All that. Yoredei is what's called Isser Veheter, what's allowed and what's not allowed. So, for example, laws of Kashrus, when milk and meat come together, stuff like that. Shatnei is forbidden mixtures and stuff like that. Evna Ezer is the third section that deals with all the laws that discuss relations between men and women, getting married, getting divorced. Yichud is in Evna Ezer. And the final one is Choshen Mishpat. Those are all the laws that deal with civil cases in terms of who could be a witness, what are the laws of renting agreements or contracts, court cases, stuff like that. So the first one was written by the Arba Turim. He was actually the son of the Rosh. He wrote it in the 1300s. 200 years later, Rabbi Yosef Karo came and took the exact same divisions, the exact same chapters, and used it for the basis for writing his Shulchan Aruch, which was that. That's the dividing line. The Shulchan Aruch basically, essentially ends the time period of the Rishonim and begins the Achronim. That's usually how we date it. Everything before, between you know the year 1000 to 1570s, so to speak, when the Shulchan Aruch was written and published. And then at that are the Achronim. Now, Rabbi Yosef Karo was known as the Mechaber, the author. Now, he wrote the halacha, but again, it had that bias for the Sephardic. So comes along Ramosha Isilis, who lived in Poland. They were contemporaries. They actually had correspondence between each other. And instead of writing a separate Shulchan Aruch, what the Ramah did was he added in comments to show where this is where the halacha differs from the Sephardim. And he'll always put the words Hagah, Hey Gimel Hey. That means note. So whenever you're reading a Shulchan Aruch, you see the words Hagah, that's where the commentary of the Ramah begins. An interesting thing that we have throughout the time periods are also called Shilas and Shuvas. When questions were asked to rabbis, we have this in the early time period of the Gaonim, throughout the Rishonim, in the early Achronim, you have contemporary Shilas, major poskim who are dealing with these Shilas are contemporary, or Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, Chacham Avadi Yosef, Zatzal. These are major poskim who answer the questions that are sent to them when some situations come up that are not necessarily discussed openly in the Shulchan Aruch. So just as a recap, what we have is the time period from Kabbalah Satoro happened in the year 2448, over 3,300 years ago. Then that was passed down orally. In the time period of the Tanoim, it was written down. It was discussed and analyzed with the Amorayim. Then the Rishonim came along and said, well, this is who we follow. The Shulchan Aruch was written to codify that, and the Achronim ones who commentary and add additional information to that to discuss cases that were not mentioned explicitly in the Shulchan Aruch. This is a brief overview of it, but again, it's important to understand that the time periods are the Tanaim, the Amoraim, the Rishonim, and the Achronim.